to another episode of Soul Focused Radio. We're your hosts, Martina
and Martin.
We're missing Cindy today, but excited for her to join us in some future podcasts. Martin, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing well. We're time traveling a little bit, so I'm trying to. How was I doing when we recorded these? But no, I'm actually doing really well. Everything's going well. I'm traveling again a fair amount, and life is good.
That's great to hear. Yeah, I'm really excited for today's conversation. We're inviting back Dr. Stephanie, who'd been on the podcast before with you and Dustin, to have a conversation with us about emotional vulnerability.
Yeah, and you know, this first episode, you know, we're going to do it in two parts, and this first episode was one where I just listened, you know, as the engineer, and I really, you know, it's a fascinating conversation to me. Not just, you know, I often talk about, I love that window into medicine that most of us as you know, consumers of medicine, but not practitioners get. And also, you know, just a little tiny spoiler alert, but Dr. Stephanie really shares vulnerably about what's going on in her life right now.
Yes, I really appreciated that. And it seemed like it was almost kind of meant to be that this is something she's been processing a lot, and we invited her to talk with us around this time. So I think without further ado, we should jump right in. What do you think, Martin?
I say, let's do it.
At the Soul Focus Group, we're probably one of the first organizations in the social justice movement to find ourselves moving away from fighting against racism to creating human solidarity. What we found is that we could fight 24 hours, 48 hours, or all our lives, and after fighting all this time, we have nothing to show for it. It's because we haven't created anything for ourselves. At the Soul Focus Group, we are one of the few organizations who have moved from fighting against racism to creating an alternative to racism. And we invite you to join us. Let's stop fighting and start creating the outcomes we really want to experience.
Well, I am so excited to welcome Dr. Stephanie Jupiter. She has been on the podcast before. This will be her fourth episode with us. She's talked with us before about soul-focused parenting, her book, The Power Codes, and Getting Powerful. And today I am very excited to bring her on to talk with us about emotional vulnerability and how that affects our health. Welcome, Dr. Stephanie.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be with you tonight, and thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm coming along, having a few physical health challenges in the midst of this 2 month span right now. Mm. But what I can say is that even in the midst of the challenges, I've experienced lots of joy.
Mm. Beautiful.
So looking forward to sharing that journey.
I look forward to hearing about it. And it sounds like this has been sort of the right, kind of the perfect timing for you in terms of what you were saying with emotional vulnerability and how it's affecting our health.
Exactly. In particular, this morning I woke up, every morning I wake up and I look to hear from my soul and with my soul's assignment for the day. And today my soul said to release my anger.
Mm.
And if you know me, if you've been around me for a while, you would think I don't have any anger.
That's true.
And that's the dangerous part of sort of my emotional stable point. Like most people think I'm, you know, non-emotional, or that's how they express it, or just even tone or even keeled with my emotions. Mm-hmm. And I always tell them, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. Just because I have a default, I've been sort of trained and programmed to be cool, calm, and collective. All is well, right? Mm-hmm. On the outside, but I always tell them, you don't know what's going on in the inside because you can't see that. It's a private space. Unless I tell you, and even when I tell people, like, I'm mad, I'm angry, they laugh because it still comes across as cool, calm, and collective. So for those who are listening, who can relate to that kind of personality. I think we can definitely relate and connect and go deeper on this subject matter and how, you know, being labeled that and even labeling yourself and taking that on. And even in the medical profession, that type of personality is welcome and warranted and promoted.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say it's not good. It's all I'm saying is you must be very in tune and aware of your own lessons, because when I feel anger come in, I can quickly dissipate it, right? But by doing that, I don't get to dive deep and get my true lesson and release those old programs, habits that are coming up for me to, you know, grow and evolve. And so I suppress it back in my body and then it'll show up later. And I've had moments over the years where I would blow up because it took so long and it is so out of place. So I'm blowing up at a person or an event or thing. And it just so out of place, but it's, you know, it's a buildup.
Right.
So before I go, you have a question? Because I'm going to dive deep into my current personal experience right now.
Well, I definitely want to get to that, what you're going through right now and, you know, having you share your journey with us. I do have one question, because you mentioned that being this calm and cool, collected person. And you're right, I cannot imagine you angry. And you mentioned both maybe it's some personality and some of how you were trained mm-hmm. to be or socialized to be. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could speak on that a little bit more as to maybe why do you think that you were socialized to be that way?
So the why, I always look at it as part of, you know, my purpose of, you know, what I came here to do in this lifetime. And so mm-hmm. I know that I attract certain experience based on why I'm here right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in the moment, I don't always understand why. And that's the whole journey of life, is learning. So I'm unfolding that. And as I unfold that, and, you know, over these 50 plus years being in this lifetime, one of my main goals was to release stress and find an alternate path for living, because we've conditioned as a society believe that there's good stress, bad stress. You're never going to get rid of stress. But I think I mentioned in the future conversations that when I went to podiatry school, and within that first 3 months, one of my professors said that greater than 95% of illnesses and diseases are rooted in stress. And so my journey has been, okay, how do we release and move past stress? Get to the root of it. What is it? Uncover it. Because I figured if I could do that, I'm curing 95% of diseases and illnesses, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So that has been my journey over the past, you know, 25 plus years in the medical field. And of course, to become an expert in something, you have to experience it. And so that's my why of like why I was conditioned to suppress. And even in this world where emotional maturity is welcomed, is mm-hmm. we have to be very mindful that we really know what emotional maturity is, because it can be disguised as emotional suppression. So when I was growing up, I was very sensitive. I mean, you could make me cry at the drop of anything. You talk too loud, I'm crying.
Mm-hmm.
You say, tell me no, I'm crying, right? Just very sensitive. And I never understood it. Because I just wanted to express myself. And even when somebody felt like they weren't listening to me or mm-hmm. I wasn't being heard, that made me sensitive too. And it made me cry. And I discovered today and over the years past that is what triggers my anger. And so I got to the point where I was like, I don't need anybody to listen to me, as long as I listen to myself. However, the reality is we're in relationship with other people. And I want to channel my energy through and with other people, right? But if you're not being noticed, or intelligence and feelings and thoughts are not being, you know, connected with, it can cause a little isolation within your own little world. And so you know, I was navigating in this world, just doing my own thing. And when I would, you know, get to a conflict with someone, I would just say, oh, I love everybody, right? And that's okay. Yeah, I don't know if you ever saw this episode with Fred Sanford. And Lamont was like, that's why you're you and I'm me. And that's why I love you, right? And so that's kind of like how I am navigating through the world. And that's a beautiful space. But that's kind of an endpoint. The thing is, how do you get there? So I got there through, okay, I was born to be that way. So on the outside, it's already developed. But there's a center and a core within me that I still needed to develop so that the inside could match the outside.
Wow.
And because of the work I've been doing, I do that work all the time. I do inner work. And there's more layers to it. So I would ask myself, let's say, for example, I was talking to my mom today and we lived together. And when she moved in, there was a lot of adjustments we had to make, right? Because I was married and I got a divorce and then my mom moved in. So there's different roles, right? And so my mom was kind of, when she moved in, I kind of felt like she was trying to treat me as her husband. She was looking for that type of connection, right? Which was out of place. And so I'm very active. I have, you know, three daughters, a full-time practice. I'm working in the community. So when I would get home, it seemed like I had very little time for her. And she would get so upset. Right. And I'm like, well, I'm not your husband, you know, blah, blah. and so she got to the point where everything I was telling her, she would use this word, whatever. And to me, that would cancel out everything I just told her. That means like, shut down. I don't want to hear nothing you have to say. Right. And I shared with her how it made me feel, but she kept doing it. Until one day, she said it too many times and I blew up. I told her, you know, either you got to go or I got to go out from this house because we can't operate like this, right? And I discovered that reminded me about my anger. So every time she would say it, I would like say it, now, okay, you know, she's going through things. And then I would just, you know, move past it instead of stopping and unpacking. Why am I attracting this from my mother? I know she don't really mean it. You see how I just canceled it out again? Where I'm putting it on her. I know she don't really mean it. And so if I think she don't really mean it, then I'm not going to go internal and go deep like, well, I got angry. Why? And what is that anger connected to? What am I thinking? What are the thoughts? What are the conditionings? What are the programs? What am I thinking I'm not going to get, you know, whatever I need to unpack, but to keep going deeper within myself to unpack my why. Because if I truly get that, I don't have any external enemies, right? The goal is to be one with everything. Then why would I just stop at what somebody else is doing and not unpack why am I responding a certain way, just to keep going deeper and deeper? And can you imagine, Martina, in our profession, in the medical field, I know you've had patients come in who work your nerves. And I've had plenty, right? However, as the professionals we are, you know, and as a business owner, we don't we're not going to show like, oh, I don't like you. You're working my nerves, right?
Right.
We got to keep pushing because the goal is to figure out what they came in for is physical. And so what I've begun to do and I continue to do and go deeper is I go beyond the physical conversation with the patient and I'll go to their mental and spiritual to uncover their soul.
Mm.
And what's going on and seek to make that soul connection. Now, every patient don't play that dance with me, right?
Right.
But I do it as far as I can go because to be honest with you, I'm not doing it for them. It's for me.
Well, that's beautiful. That connection.
It's that connection. And as I go deeper, the beauty of how we so interconnected is that it allows them to go deeper and get their healing. Because they really heal themselves. I don't heal them. Everyone is responsible and we only can heal our own selves.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's so true. And that's something that I think so often patients are coming in looking for something external, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that frustration can come from is, well, I'm not better. Why didn't you heal me?
Exactly. And I hear that all the time where the doctors, they just want your money. Mm-hmm. And I'm always stopping and like, nope, it's not that. It's a systemic way of treating patients. I mean, if you come in and we only have 10 minutes slotted for your care, there's right. no way we can get to the depths of what we need to get to in 10 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to definitely put you in the category. Okay, you have this symptom. So we're going to look in this bucket.
Yep.
And we're going to see if you have this by different tests. I'll give mm-hmm. you different medicine to see if you respond, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but you do have some doctors who will take more than 10 minutes. But the thing I always ask patients is, it's a business. We got to keep that in mind. We created medicine as a business. This, the mm-hmm. doctors didn't do this. The society did it. We mm-hmm. as the people did this.
Right.
And if we want something different, we as the people got to do something different. Yeah. And so when you go to the doctor, you got to study yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go to that doctor, that you with yourself 24/7. This doctor meeting you for the first, second time, how could they know more about you than you know yourself?
You've probably heard of spiritual bypassing, the idea that you will focus on everything except social justice to get away from having to face social justice issues. But just like we have people that have spiritual bypass, there are also people who social bypass. In other words, there are people who focus on social justice issues to get away from focusing on the things they need to do for themselves, the things they need to do to return themselves back to self-solidarity. So at the Soul Focus Group, we have come to integrate both spiritual and social consciousness into one. That's why we call ourselves Soul Focus, because when you integrate spiritual consciousness and social consciousness, the relationship you share with others, when you bring them together, when you integrate them, you create a consciousness we call Soul Focus. And we invite you to come join us at the Soul Focus Group and discover the power of integrated consciousness.
So when you go to the doctor, and I'm talking about myself because I've been to many doctors within this last 2 months. I'm one that hardly ever go to the doctor, but I've seen probably 10 doctors in the last 2 months.
Oof.
And wow. So just to give the listeners a little preview, within in August of 15th, this is a marker day for me. We had just came back a week or two from family vacation, living the life in Florida, Universal Disney World, right? Just to give you a little picture. And I, you know, you do a lot of walking there. I had the time of my life with my family and just we're getting ready to prepare for school to start and, you know, all the exciting things. And then on August 15th, I could not move. I was in so much pain. My head was like somebody squeezed it. I was vertigo. I couldn't lay down. I was shortness of breath. One of my left eye was very blurry. I almost couldn't see. My left side was weak, and sometimes I could lift my arm or my leg, sometimes I couldn't, right? So, you know, to go from super healthy to this, that was stress alone. That was a panic mode. And in the middle of it, I was going through menopause. So I was having hot flashes and then other little, you know, I'm sensitive to a whole lot of food and I was eating a lot of those foods. So I didn't know what was going on. My body was stressed out. And just prior to that, when I got back from the Universal Studios, Medicare sent me an audit.
Oh, no.
I think that was the icing on the cake. I was mad. I didn't even know I was mad. I think out of anything, the thing that made me mad was, how could, you know what I do for patients? You know what I mean?
Right.
How could you audit me? Right? Mm-hmm. And when you see Medicare, you think, oh, Lord, they're going to take my money, you know?
Yeah.
Everything I've worked for is gone because I don't know what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. So just to give that picture of how stress came into play, okay? But at the time, I wasn't putting all the pieces together because I just couldn't think. My head was pounding on a 12 out of 10. And like I say, every time I would close my eyes, the room would spin. So I couldn't even go to sleep. I was scared to close my eyes, right?
Oh my gosh, Dr.
Yes.
Stephanie.
And so, you know, once I kind of stabilized after going to several doctors, started off with PCP, the ENT, the emergency room, the urgent care, several chiropractors, several medications. So, you know, I'm definitely very compassionate and more grounded and more open to listening to what my patients are saying to me. And really, I can tell you the path to how it connects to stress now. It took me 2 months to really do that weaving and kind of going through different mazes. And then I'll talk about later if we get deeper into how a maze and a labyrinth are two different things. So as I found my inner labyrinth, that is when I truly begin to stabilize, ground, and heal and experience joy and peace in the midst of all of this. Because there's the maze and the labyrinth is two different things. And then, you know, in our inner ear, we have our labyrinth.
I was just thinking that.
Yes.
There you go.
And how that is controls our hearing and our balance. And so what I was hearing was off, and I'm not talking about physical, I'm talking about internally, my inner hearing, and then my balance, how I was living life. I was working too much. So all of that, and I'm going to tell you, I love words. It impacted my scalene muscles. My scalene muscles locked up. And what do you hear in the word scalene?
Scales
out of balance.
Oh my God. You make it so poetic.
But this is how life is. I mean, I can go on and on about this because I'm so excited to be taking this inner journey. Because my theme for this year was wanting, O-N-E-I-N-G. Wanting is all I do in 2022. And what does that mean? That means to be so in balance and in tune with myself that I'm one. It's like no external enemies, no internal conflict within myself. It's just one. When we talk about that inner voice, it's no separation, no doubt, just pureness. So when I set my theme out, which I set every year, a different theme, I didn't know it was going to come like this.
Wow. Dr. Stephanie, you have shared, there's just so much that you've shared that I feel like we could do a full podcast on so many different topics. But I really, you know, first off, I want to just see, you know, how are you doing? And now that you've sort of realized the connection of the stress and the physical symptoms that you've been having, you know, how has healing been looking like for you?
So once I discovered the inner labyrinth journey, and just to give a quick little difference between the maze and the labyrinth, because in the maze, which we can call the matrix, there's so many paths, twists, and turns. The difference between the maze and the labyrinth is that in the maze, you can travel a path, but you're not going to necessarily always get to your center, your core. Hmm. You can find a route where you're still lost. You're like, who am I? Right? Mm-hmm. With the labyrinth, no matter what path you take inside that labyrinth, once you're in it, as long as you keep going, you're going to hit your center, your core. It takes you to that place all the time. So once I found my inner labyrinth and I understood that, once I was, you know, in my inner school that was teaching me about myself, I got inspired to keep going. Because now I, even though I didn't know what was going on with me, I knew if I kept going, I would discover that core, that center, that oneness that I was looking to achieve this year. And that is where the joy and the peace came from. And so it didn't matter, no matter what doctor I went to, I was grateful for what they shared with me. They didn't always make me feel good, but remember, this journey is not about feeling good. I could take a pain pill and feel good.
Right.
I could smoke some crack. I think you smoke crack and feel good. What you doing? Shoot up in your arm. You can shoot some crack in your arm and feel good. So, you know, it's not really about feeling good. That's not the goal. The goal is freedom. To be able to just be fully expressed and fully alive and fully living and just being 1,000%, right? And so that's why I was able to override those, like, my body stuff. I didn't ignore them. I listened to them and I let them guide me to where I needed to go. So one night I was like, I need to go to the emergency room. Because I wanted a CT scan. I wanted something, because I usually go to urgent care, right? And to be fully transparent right now, I've never been into healthcare insurance, right? Because I always said my healthcare insurance is eating right, thinking right, living right.
Yeah.
However, when 50 hit, I was like, maybe I need some healthcare insurance just to get the checkups. Right. And so I didn't realize that there's a enrollment period. And so I'm waiting until, you know, November 1st to do the open enrollment. So right now I don't have any healthcare insurance.
Oh, no.
And so I would go to urgent cares, and, you know, that can get pretty pricey.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to go to another urgent care. They don't have MRI, CT. So let me go to the emergency room to really see what's going on. Because the mind wants to know. The mind will not rest. That's his job. If I don't put this mind to rest, I'm going to really exhaust myself and create more stress. I went to the emergency room to get those different tests.
I was just going to say the mind is looking for something external.
No, you're exactly correct. In the inner labyrinth journey, that's where you turn the mind from external to internal. And when I allow my own intelligence to guide me, that is when the true healing begin to be fun.
Wow.
And so no matter which doctor or place I went to, I was just so happy just to discover more about myself. And to talk to professionals who could act as a coach to guide me. Because, you know, I operate as a foot doctor. My foot wasn't hurting.
Right.
But it's all connected. It's all connected. And I'll tell you, even though I went to several chiropractors, I went to one today. And the name of this, I picked it because the name of this chiropractor's office is called One O-N-E Life. And they definitely solidified this journey for me. And I got the most relief today that I've gotten in the past 2 months.
Oh, wow.
In one treatment day.
I really appreciate you sharing so much personal aspects of your journey these last few months. And there's so much I really want to highlight. But right now I'm really being moved by your discussion of just sitting in the emotion or sitting in the symptom and kind of resting in that and living through it. Mm-hmm. And like you said, being in the labyrinth, you just have to continue to reach your center. And I think that is really powerful, because I know for me, sometimes I get stuck. Well, is this the right path? Am I doing the right thing? But that's kind of the mindset of being in a maze. And I feel like sometimes I can get stuck thinking, you know, being too stuck in the mind. Is this the right thing that I'm doing? Should I be doing something else? But knowing that if I'm just going to be continuing in my journey of learning from my emotions, learning from my anger, that was something really powerful you said. There's lessons in being angry. We'll be moving more and more towards our center.
Yes. And what you just shared is powerful. And I know a lot of people have this question because they've asked me that about the maze, right? Like, am I on the right path? Mm-hmm. And do I keep moving forward? And so I've been asked, what's the difference? How do you know when you're on the right path? Mm. And we kind of gave a preview to it in our conversation today, is when your mind is turned inward and listening to you instead of you using external as the intelligence to guide you, then you know you're on the right path.
Wow, there's so much wisdom in what you've shared with us, Dr. Stephanie.
It was Carl Jung, famous psychologist and psychiatrist, I think he was a student of Sigmund Freud, who once said, when asked by one of his students, what is an ego? He said, the ego is this. He said, the world will ask you who you are, and if you say to the world you don't know, then the world will proceed to tell you who you are. And who the world tells you that you are becomes your ego. Your ego is who you are trying to be for other people. At the Soul Focus Group, we spend a lot of time recognizing that for years we have been leading off by trying to please people, and we have to reduce the size of our ego to get back into our soul. There are so many beautiful lessons for us to learn from our ego. It's not a negative thing. It is a something to learn thing. At the Soul Focus Group, we learn how to reduce our ego, which translates to us reducing our performative behavior and really start showing up authentic.
Well, I really enjoyed that conversation, Martina. You know, as I said in the intro, not only was it, you know, is it always fascinating for me to hear you, you know, both as MDs talk, but, you know, I was really blown away by, you know, what Dr. Stephanie shared with us about her own journey, you know, as a, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's not consumer of medicine. What's the word I'm thinking of?
A user? I don't know.
There's some word. There just, you know, but it, basically as a patient, right? Essentially as a patient. And I know that you all, as doctors, you experience the medical system when you're going through it yourself differently than we do, because you know so much about it. And also, you know, I really felt like Dr. Stephanie shared a lot of vulnerability that she had, you know, even as a practitioner, mm-hmm. As she was going mm-hmm. through the system. And I really wanted to know what stood out for you.
Yeah, I mean, so much stood out for me. I think, as always, Dr. Stephanie brings so much insight on the role of stress in our health and our well-being. Mm. And, you know, I think she shared a lot about the role of stress for her in potentially contributing to the symptoms that she's having and how real that can be. And, you know, I think for me, a big takeaway that I've actually been practicing since we recorded this episode is seeing stress as a red flag, seeing stress as a symptom of illness. Mm. And really wanting to make sure that when I feel stress, that I'm pausing and saying, this is not healthy. This is the beginning of illness and I need to step away from it. And then also trying to really incorporate that with my patients, you know, like we talked about, what if people came in and said, I'm stressed? And that was the symptom that we tried to treat. And so trying to really tune in and connect with my patients when they share that stress and take it as a really serious concern, because it is, it's the start of how we become ill.
Yeah. I love that was one of your primary takeaways, because I had sort of forgotten about that part. And the idea of stress as a primary diagnosis in the medicine that we practice here in America, and then that being your starting point, and then sort of, branching out from there, like that's sort of the trunk of the tree or the roots. And then looking at the specific way that stress is manifesting, as a health issue from there. Mm-hmm.
Right. Which I think ties into our conversations with Dr. Nilo and Cindy Carnegie about trauma too, and trauma being this underlying root cause for so many of our physical ailments, like what we talked about, those adverse childhood experiences, the ACEs study shows.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you, for setting up this interview with Dr. Stephanie, and for leading the first part of it. And I'm excited, because I get to come in on the next one.
Which we always love having your perspective.
I'm excited to have been a part of this next episode. And so tune in next week and you all get to hear it. So with that, Martina, as always, we want to thank everybody for listening to us and being on this journey with us, and hopefully doing everything you can in your life to minimize stress and be healthy in all the ways that one can be healthy. And we want you to know that we love you, every one of our listeners. We love you. We care about you. And we want you to stay safe, stay well. And what else do we want, Martina?
Most of all, we want you to stay soulful.